The content and opinions expressed during this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. Your hosts, Bradley Butterfield, Marlene Sexton, and Brandi Wiltermuth, have over 30 years' experience treating health issues associated with excess body weight. Get ready for an in-depth, honest discussion about weight loss and your health. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's T-H-R-E-E.health.
Welcome to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We offer medical and behavioral solutions for weight loss, reversing diabetes, and cardiometabolic disorders. I'm Brad Butterfield, the Executive Director and a psychotherapist with 3Health, and with me today are Brandi Wiltermuth, ARNP and the Medical Director at 3Health.
Hello.
Hi, Brandi. And Marlene Sexton, psychotherapist and the Director of Therapy at 3Health.
Good morning.
Hi, Brandi.
And Marlene.
Yeah, both of you. Today we have a guest, Jennifer O'Brien, ARNP. Jennifer, we met you at Low Carb USA, I think it was the first weekend in May, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, and it was in Bellevue.
It was.
And we're glad that you're with us today.
Thank you.
It's great
Thanks
to have
for having
you.
Me.
Yeah, you've been in our clinic, I think, a couple of times.
Yes.
And you were shadowing Brandi today, and
I was.
You met some patients.
Right, I did.
And how was the experience?
It was great. I learned a lot from Brandi. She offers a lot of experience, and so it was really nice to be able to see her at work with the patients.
Good. That's great. We want to hear a little bit about your story, but tell me how you ended up at Low Carb USA this year.
Well, are you wanting to know personal story, or
yeah.
do you want to know?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I've always struggled with my weight. It's been since childhood, really, that I've always struggled. So the problem for me mostly came when I was in grad school and I had gained about 80 pounds. And I really wanted to understand why this was happening with me and eating foods and gaining weight and my husband eating the same foods and not gaining weight. And I did a search on Google for rapid weight loss, and Andreas Einfeld from Diet Doctor appeared. He had a YouTube video, and he was discussing insulin and how that impacts our bodies. So the more I learned, the more I applied to myself, and I realized I really needed to start doing that for my patients. And I work in family practice and started from there. I ended up at Low Carb USA because I wanted to have more tools in my kit.
So, Jennifer, you said you were in grad school. This is to become an ARNP.
Right,
and
a nurse
practitioner. Were you already a nurse at the time?
I was a nurse.
You were in grad school. Okay.
Since 2001, I was a nurse, but in healthcare a little bit longer than that.
Okay. So you decided to go back to graduate school.
Right.
For more education.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
Wow. 80 pounds?
80 pounds. I started very slowly, sort of on again, off again with low-carb keto. And so far, I lost 45 pounds. And
that's great.
Still going.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a great result.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when can you tell us when you sort of realized that the calories in, calories out model wasn't effective and or sustainable for yourself or your patients?
Right. As I said before, when I would try and lose weight, I had done so many diets before. It was just so frustrating to me. It was from Weight Watchers to Nutrisystem to
very low fat.
Yes. And then counting calories was sustainable for a while, but I had to put in so much effort. I was eating 1,200 calories a day. I was weighing everything. I was exercising for at least an hour a day, mostly running and doing some weightlifting, but I was exhausted and hungry all the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sustainable for me.
Where
it came back on very fast because I just wanted to eat.
Yeah.
So that drive was really strong.
Okay. I think it's interesting how I think nurse practitioners in particular are a little bit more open to the idea of there being more of a insulin carbohydrate model than the calories in, calories out. And I'm not sure if that's because a lot of us are female and have struggled with our weight.
Right.
And tried to do the things that we were asking our patients to do. And that's one of the things I found, is that I couldn't really honestly sit in front of a patient and say, I think this is the best way, when it never worked for me.
Right.
So it was really frustrating to not have any other option until I started working in weight management, is how I learned about this other way of thinking about it.
Right.
And Low Carb USA just helped solidify that in a bunch of different ways. So that's why we keep getting reminded about what the differences are between the calories in, calories out, eat less, exercise more.
Lay people don't, I never knew. I thought insulin was something you got at the drugstore for, type 1 diabetes. I didn't realize until I was, 50 years old, that it was something that our body can manufacture if mm-hmm. things are going well.
Right.
And so the idea, if you've looked at our website and read any blogs, you'll be reminded that I struggled with body image and weight most of my life, and just not knowing how food affects your body, and then being told, calories in, calories out, calorie is a calorie. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking, something like a bell pepper has got to be better than a cookie.
Right.
But
according to the experts.
Yeah, calorie in, calorie out, exercise more, call
right.
it good.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think with nurses and anybody in the medical field understands the body a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we weren't taught that, though. We weren't taught that model. It was through self-experimentation and, finally trying to figure out this issue for ourselves. That at least that's how I arrived at understanding this and learning more about it.
Yeah, me too.
And wow. Jennifer, you also talked about the exercising. I heard you say you were exercising, an hour or more a day? And,
right.
And so you were trying to work out calories that way also?
Right, exactly. Okay. And I had a monitor on. I'd be looking at the calories that I burned in the day and comparing it to what I took in during the day. And it was just so frustrating, exhausting to work out that much, to eat so little, and to feel hungry all the time and tired as well.
So you're reducing your calories, and then you're working out more. You must have been in real energy depletion. Your workouts must have been pretty poor quality at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
I felt that they were good.
Sure. Yeah, but still.
Because doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you must have been wearing yourself down to almost nothing.
I was.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of energy for anything else, you know, to be a good mom and a good wife and to do a good job at work and at home. It was a real struggle.
Yeah.
So for me, switching over to keto, I was surprised that I had so much more energy.
Right.
That I was sleeping better.
There's no fuel there.
Right.
With the low calories.
Right,
okay.
Right. And eating enough, I just felt so much better. Okay. My husband adopted this too, and he really didn't need it for metabolic reasons. He just thought it made sense for overall health.
I think you and I were talking before, and I tried to do the same thing in terms of cutting calories and exercising more. But I never made it more than about 3 days before. I was just so hungry. I couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
And I always wondered how people could stay on these things. I guess they were just more determined than I was, but I just couldn't, and I wasn't losing weight.
Right.
I mean, even if I would go off for one day, I'd get back on and do it again for another week or something, but I could never stick with it.
Right.
I think it's heartbreaking when I read somebody saying, you've got to have willpower and you've got to have self-control and just put the fork down, and knowing that's not, all the patients we've seen, myself included, knowing that these people have resolve, they are trying,
right.
They're doing what's asked of them.
Well, and I'm, I'm successful in other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I don't know how to succeed and set goals and accomplish things, but I just couldn't tolerate starving.
Well, and look at the television show The Biggest Loser, what they emphasize. They're essentially taking those people and for hours beating them up physically. giving us the vision that by that massive exercise mm-hmm. that they're doing for hours on end daily is what's burning, quote, burning yeah, calories.
Right.
And then they get on the scale at the end and we see these great drops in weight. And it's affirming to everybody that's watching that show that that's the way that they're losing weight. When
right.
in fact, that's not true.
Yeah, and you see them the come back
weight.
Later.
Yeah.
So much bigger or, you know, around the same where they started.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think that craving just becomes so intense that you just eventually give back in because you've deprived yourself for so long.
Right. The body fights
back. I only watched
back.
The show once, and I thought it was so, from a therapist standpoint, it is so unethical.
Well, can you say the word abusive? I mean,
yeah,
that's actually what
I mean,
it was.
I just couldn't watch it. And nobody wanted to be in the room with me watching it either. And I'm like, you can't say that. You can't do that. And it's not going to work,
right.
which now we know. I mean, we knew then, but
right.
Just to use that as entertainment, I thought was very unethical.
Yeah, it is sad. So, Jennifer, how long would you say you've been doing low-carb or keto now?
Strictly, I would say since September, but on and off since I really saw Andrea Seinfeld, which was about 6 years, 5-6 years ago.
Kind of dabbled in it since then?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any during that time, did you ever have the like self-doubt that this was the right thing to do? Or did you oscillate between, well, maybe I do need to eat more vegetarian and maybe that's the way to go and that'll be healthier for me? Or were you kind of just set in low carb as a way to do it, but I got to figure out how to do it?
Right. I had already tried vegetarian and vegan.
Oh, so you crossed that one off.
Oh, yeah. I think I pretty much crossed off everything prior to going keto. But for me, it was just hard to give up the carbohydrates for me because I really felt such a drive to them. So it was hard for me. But,
okay.
And that's why I think it took me some time
yeah.
to really fully commit. But once I understood how I feel when I would eat carbohydrates after I've been keto and I felt so crummy and stomach bloating and all this, I was like, why do I keep doing this to myself? I really just need to stick with something that makes me feel so much better.
Right. I think I had a little bit different experience because when I started doing weight management in 2006, we were heretics. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember asking the physician I was working with and was training me, why don't we go talk to the primary care providers and try to, you know, let them know that we're here? And he said, they think we're quacks. And so I was like, well, we'll just sit over here and do our thing and hopefully people will find us. But there was really sort of this, I would say it's not secretive, but you kind of just felt like it wasn't well accepted by mainstream, and so we were doing something different and crazy. For a long time, I did have doubts about low carb, and then when I understood the protein, I still struggled with the fat message because it was just so counter to everything that you were hearing outside of the little circle of obesity medicine.
Right.
So
it's time to take a break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. It's a great story. We have lots of questions and lots to talk about when we come back. So we'll take a break and we'll be back in a few moments.
Introducing 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions, a unique weight loss clinic backed by real medical research with a treatment focusing on the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. From medical services for obesity and high blood pressure to behavioral services for emotional eating and depression, 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions can help you change your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself, and with life. Find out more, 425-606-0022. Or online at 3.health. That's 3.health.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, Welcome back to Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We have a guest today, Jennifer O'Brien, and Jennifer's been telling us her personal story about weight loss and eating keto, so let's continue with that, Jennifer. One of my questions at the break that I was asking you is, you have two boys?
I do.
How old are they?
Well, my oldest, he is 14.
Okay.
And my youngest is 12.
Okay. Wow. That's an adventure, I'm sure.
Yes.
So, Jennifer, I was asking you at the break about this your keto eating and your family systems. I mean, for Marlene and I, we're always talking about family systems with our patients and how we integrate with our patients this form of eating into the home. Can you share with me a little bit about how this is working in your home with your boys? You mentioned before the break about how your husband is eating this way, and he's finding it really beneficial. But how's it work with your boys?
Right. I think that having family support and making it a family decision is really good for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And to change your way of eating, it really needs to be more of a family group effort, so there's adequate support. So for us, cereal was a big problem in the mornings. Starting off their day full of sugar wasn't really beneficial to them, so we did change over to doing eggs and things like that. Lunch, they like lettuce wraps, so they had been doing that for a long time, so that wasn't really much of a change, or tuna salad with mayonnaise. And
so they go to school, you send lunch with them typically?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
don't
do
maybe
the school
once
lunch
a week
that much. Okay.
Well, once a week, right, as a treat we'll do that for them, but and then they get to choose whatever they want, which is usually carb heavy, I would say. But for dinner, my husband usually prepares meals, and he does try to keep it lower carb. But they're probably more following 100 grams of carbs or less per day, I would say. So they're higher than what I would be.
But that's not for teenagers particularly high. That's,
no, but okay. I really find they don't eat as much either compared to when we were eating so many more refined carbohydrates. So when they were eating bread, when they were eating cereal, when we had Goldfish and animal crackers, they were eating nonstop. And once we changed that, their appetite seemed to just be more under control.
And 12 and 14-year-old boys, when you made this transition, did they complain? Were they unhappy about this? Or?
My oldest, not so much.
Okay. All right.
My youngest, a little bit more.
Okay. Because Marlene, we deal with this all the time with our patients.
Yeah.
In fact, you mentioned this on last week's show about a patient making this transition with
their
family.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a trauma for a kid.
Right.
You know, a lot of times they're not buying groceries. So, you know, they can gripe and go, where are the Goldfish? You know, we don't have them. And they'll get over it.
And they did.
Yeah.
They really did.
And, you know, it teaches them coping skills. They can handle disappointment now.
I like that.
And Marlene, what we often hear from a patient is, well, why would I make my family suffer? And sometimes we need to pull that apart and say, well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
how are they suffering?
Yeah.
Right. I kind of look at it like, if it's not good for you, why would it be good for them?
Yeah.
And you should see the, like, circles start going around in the head when we talk about that.
Yeah.
Or the question, how are you setting your children up for when they go to college and leave the home with the sugar stuff, right?
Right.
You're kind of setting them up for failure here.
Right. If somebody is saying, why are you feeding them this way? Why are you giving them Doritos and sending them to school? Why are you giving them all of these refined things that are empty calories that are really not nourishing them?
Mm-hmm. And technically, they're not food.
Right.
Yeah. No, kids can get used to it. They feel better. They feel fuller.
Right.
It's okay to have a kid be disappointed once in a while. And they are getting carbs when they're leaving the home. I can guarantee it. They go to the movies, they're going to get candy. They're going to get enough. It's not like they're going to be a shortage of sugar and carbs in their life.
That's right.
Nobody needs to supplement that.
Yeah. Right. They'll find enough.
Right. Even parties at school. Teacher will bring in donuts. Mm-hmm. And if my oldest partakes in it, he will come home and say, my stomach really hurts. Mm-hmm. And that's why.
Yeah. No, I tell people all the time, you can make your whole you know, the kitchen clean, where you're serving nothing but healthy foods at home, and you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Right.
But kids need chips and stuff. Well, they can get them still.
Right.
You know, you're deluding yourself if you think they're not getting any.
Right. I actually have people, when they've realized kind of what they've been feeding their family, that's where the guilt comes in.
Yeah, I've
when
had
they go,
that.
You know, I can't believe I had a patient say, I've fed them so much macaroni and cheese, I feel really guilty about doing that. Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, let me just put your mind at ease, because I have patients that come in here, and obviously they're coming because they have either a weight problem or metabolic issues or both, and they will report to me that they grew up in a household where there was no sugar, mm-hmm. and it was very tightly controlled. And when they got out of the house, they went nuts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I have people come in and say, I never ate a fresh vegetable. Everything was packaged, preheat, you know, all this stuff. So there's some responsibility on the parents to model good eating, but it's not going to be what makes or breaks it in the long run. I think people find their way to their food addiction on their own.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot in our culture. So I was at one of my little grandson's baseball games, and the coach gave them each a big bag of candy when they finished their game. They're 5 years old, so, you know, it wasn't much of a game. But they got rewarded with candy, and it's like, all right, but at least I'm not giving them candy at home on top of it, and they didn't have sugar cereal for breakfast.
Yeah,
so
you're just not going to be able to control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, you work in a primary care setting?
I do.
Okay. And you're fully adopted into the low-carb keto way of eating for yourself.
I am.
And am I understanding correctly that you're having patients adopt this way of eating, too, to help manage what kinds of things?
Well, I am trying to introduce this into the community. I work for the Chehalis tribe right now, and really any culture is so immersed in food and celebrations with food, and the tribe is no different. And they really gather and make food a big part of their celebration. And so it's a slow process, but I do try to introduce it to a lot of diseases. Obesity, of course, but diabetes, even skin conditions or pain, we talk about that. You know, what are you putting into your body? I want to know, what are they eating, and is that contributing to how their body feels?
So, and have you gotten any successes from teaching people this?
Yes, I have. And there's successes and then there's setbacks with any profession. And for me, when I see success, it doesn't necessarily just have to be that their medications are reduced or removed, even though that is fantastic, but it could be things, as we discussed before, a functional ability is returned. I had a woman who was grossly obese, and she couldn't go to the bathroom and wipe herself anymore, so she'd have to go in the shower right after. And after she lost 10 pounds, she was able to regain that functionality, and that gave her a lot of self-pride. And so that, too, is a success to me.
Yeah, it's a huge impact on the quality of life.
Right,
yeah. So you work in a setting with other primary care providers, I'm sure.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is happening with you, but when I worked in a setting in internal medicine practice, I had come against quite a bit of resistance from some of the providers, not in terms of just using a low-carb diet to help manage things like diabetes, but there was more of a kind of a understanding of that's not my job. I was told my job is to order the test and prescribe the drugs.
Right.
It was not to ask, what are you eating?
Right.
So are you experiencing any kind of pushback from other?
Although we want you to be careful here. We don't want you to get... I was thinking about that same question, Brandy, and then I thought, let's put Jennifer on the spot with all of her coworkers here.
Right. So no, it's
you
okay.
can answer that in general. You don't have to give us names
sure.
or anything. So.
Well, my first my first job as a nurse practitioner, I started off treading very lightly because I was new and I didn't really want to rock the boat, and this low-carb approach was controversial, I would say, at that time.
Still is, I think.
Yeah,
less
right.
so, though.
Yeah, less so. I agree. And so I had started off with a diabetic patient, and her A1C was in the 10 mark range, and she was off of all of our anti-diabetics. And so when I had introduced her to Duke University Diet with Dr. Westman, she had reviewed it for the first month. We usually follow up our diabetics every 3 months. Mm-hmm. She reviewed it for the first month, was like, no way am I going to do this. And then months 2 and 3, she applied it because her blood sugars kept going up despite going on all of her anti-diabetics, insulin, and oral medicines. And she came back to me, and her A1C was 6 in 2 months.
Wow.
So the doctor I worked with there could see that positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going over to where I am now is a little bit different because I didn't just have one provider. Now I've got 4 other ones mm-hmm. that, you know, have different personalities, different mindsets and all that. I work with a plant-based physician, so that is probably the most challenging for me because he is really not supportive with saturated fats at all.
And animal protein.
Right, or animal protein at all.
So the common thread is probably, I'm guessing, that protein is important.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So he's on that wave at least.
He is, but I don't know what he really teaches his patients. And we've tried having conversations, but there are barriers to the conversations that we've had. So
yeah.
It could be limited sometimes.
Yeah, I've always thought, you know, obviously there are people who are successful doing plant-based diets. I just don't have the time to sit and figure out how to make it work.
Right.
When I can just eat a piece of meat and
right.
not have to think about it anymore.
Right.
Part of, I think, you know, the diet mentality and what gets in people's way is sort of this, the bandwidth that it requires to stay on a plan and be, you know, perfect. And the idea is you have to be perfect to get the results. And so we were talking a few episodes ago about how intermittent fasting can really help free up just the mental space to not have to be thinking about food all the time and not being as hungry. And wow, people have a lot of good ideas and things to think about and do with their mind other than think about food all the time.
Right.
So that's an aspect of more of a, I would say, low-carb diet that works for people because
right.
it's pretty simple when you look at the foods that we're recommending.
So it's time for a break. Let's continue our conversation when we come back. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We've still got a lot to talk about, so we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today, 425-606-0022, or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Talk radio with a purpose. Alternative Talk 1150. Thank you.
So we're back. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and we have a guest with us today. It's Jennifer O'Brien, ARNP. Jennifer, you're working with the Chehalis Tribe.
I am.
And you've been telling us your personal story, your personal weight loss, and you shared some of your family system with your two boys, 12 and 14 years old, and your husband, and how you've integrated this new way of eating, low-carb and keto in your home. Appreciate that. And we've been talking also about your practice with the tribe, and Brandy asked you the question about how you've integrated that with some of the other medical providers.
Right.
And I'd like to continue on with that a little bit, because one of the things that we so often hear with patients coming in is the just eat less and exercise more, that often another medical provider or primary care physician will say. You were talking about working, I think, with four other providers. Are you still fighting that mentality, eat less and exercise more? You had talked about that earlier in your story, and that's something that you had tried without success and how frustrating that was for you.
Right.
Are you through that with the people that you're working with? Or are you still hearing that?
I'm not hearing that as much right now.
Good.
So that is good. But it's a slow progression, really, with me trying to explain where I'm coming from and why I'm taking the approach that I am with patients. And it's slowly moving. It's a really slow ship to turn. And so one of the other nurse practitioners that works there with me, I think she's probably the closest aligned with me, but she still is a little nervous about using butter and some saturated fats and things. But she is referring patients to me. So now I'm getting referrals from the other providers to do nutritional counseling, which I love spending time doing. That is just one of my favorite things to do. And even it sounded like, in a roundabout way, that the plant-based provider had referred to one of the other providers to refer to me for nutritional counseling.
Great.
For our patients.
So they're saying to the patients, send them all to Jennifer.
It's starting to happen.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
It's starting to happen.
That's great. You're getting a reputation.
I am.
That's
even
great.
The word keto is sort of flowing through the tribe now.
Okay.
So
that's pretty cool.
And I think what usually happens, too, is people will have a lot of good changes, and then they'll tell other patients.
Right.
And the patients start requesting to see you for nutritional counseling.
Right. And that's happening in the tribe. They're a very close-knit community, so the word spreads fast.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that the American Diabetes Association has finally recognized low-carb diets as a possible treatment.
Right.
And it's kind of like, well, it's good that they've arrived there kind of late to the game, but okay.
Right.
And I think that is actually a good way to introduce low-carb to people who, other providers who maybe in the past have thought that there's no, you know, application for diabetes. It's
right.
Like if the American Diabetes Association is accepting it, then there's got to be something to it.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah. So sometimes you use that. And then the Diet Doctor website itself has a handout for skeptical providers out there.
Right. Yeah. I haven't seen that one, but I do use that website often for the visual guides.
Oh,
I find that
so
patients
good.
Love that. Mm-hmm. They don't really have an awareness sometimes about how many carbs they're eating. Get a lot of, I eat a lot of cashews, and then I can show them how much is in there.
Right.
And they are shocked. But then they know, how can I make modifications to lower my carbohydrate load?
Yeah, it's really smart the way that they display that, because then you can look and see, well, I guess I could have these other nuts and they're not quite as high in carbs.
Right, yeah. It's great to have that tool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make any behavioral changes as you're losing and practicing keto and low carb?
Right. I think when we would go out to dinner, we would be very hungry. primarily because we were consuming carbohydrates. We would have those spikes and dips in our blood sugar, and we would just get so hungry. And we'd sort of save that up for dinner. Mm-hmm. But now I think preparing ahead of time, thinking, what is there that I could eat that would be low carb? And most restaurants have an option, or you can modify it somewhat so that you can have a delicious meal that's filling, that is not going to I mean, ruin your diet, you know.
Yeah, it's, we talked about that, I think, in the last radio show, is how to prepare for, because we don't want people not going out to dinner.
Right.
Or not going to friends' homes or not entertaining. That's not sustainable.
Right.
So how can you go out?
Right.
And not going out starving is the first strategy.
Right. Exactly.
Don't be so hungry, and then, you know, changing it up. But I've found that a lot of restaurants already are doing it, that you can look and see, you know, with steak, they're leaving the potatoes out and giving you asparagus.
Right.
Or you ask them to.
Or you can ask them to, too.
Most restaurants will do that.
Yeah, nobody gets really upset by that.
Right.
So, and any other, did you have to explain yourself to friends or other family members?
Right. My brother has also struggled with his weight, so he had an understanding that low-carb was a good approach. So I had support from him. Friends, I think most people now have heard of low carb, and so they're not as judgmental maybe as when they used to be with it. But if there is a situation where it's a party, and I think that was a good point that you brought up, Marlene, about that you can bring something that would be low carb that you could eat yourself, and also share with other people. You can have good food that's really tasty and feels like you're spoiling yourself, but it's really healthy for you.
Yeah, I usually will take, you know, some sort of either shrimp and a dip or olives and, you know, kind of an olive plate or something.
Right.
And it's, nobody has ever said, diet food.
Yeah, right.
You, Jennifer, you mentioned gaining a fair amount of weight when you were in graduate school.
Right.
And so you've gone through this journey about learning and teaching yourself all of these things. Talk to me how you learned how to differentiate between emotional eating and when you're hungry, and eating when you're hungry. You know, having gone back to graduate school a couple times as an adult, there's a lot of emotions there.
There are.
It's get pretty crazy. So was there a lot of emotional eating going on at that time? Was that part of the weight gain?
And, definitely.
And then you had to figure some of that out? Because Marlene and I, of course, being involved with patients' behaviors and being therapists, that's one thing we want our patients to figure out. When are you eating for emotions, and when are you eating when you're truly hungry?
Right.
And so sometimes for a patient initially, that line can be pretty subtle. It's hard to differentiate that, and until you get this figured out later on, that's easier to differentiate those things. But.
Right. I think during that time, I could not see what I was doing. I was just sort of in survival mode. I was working. I had children. I was a wife. You know, most people have that experience, I guess, these days, or there's a lot of people who it's not uncommon for that. But for me, I was eating foods that were for comfort. I was eating often. I wasn't getting the signals that I'm full when I was eating all these carbs. So when I made the transition over to keto and I was full, I had the signal that I was full, and I could realize better, I think, when I was eating out of emotion. Whereas before with carbs, I just wasn't seemingly getting the message as much, and I was in the thick of the stress. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really see what I was doing until I looked in the mirror.
So eating the carbs and associating that with the stress, knowing when you were truly hungry versus the emotions, the carbs made it all that much more difficult. You're saying,
right. Okay. I felt like I couldn't really understand when I was full or really hungry, and I was just so stressed out. I just couldn't identify that. But once I changed my eating habits, that made me more aware, because I was getting the proper signals of fullness. I was getting the nutrition that I needed. And I just saw that I was really struggling and emotionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And I went to a therapist to work some of those things out. But I was able to do that later.
That's what we do here is to help people along the lines figure that out and figure out what else to do or maybe how to better manage stress and those things.
That's why we're combining the medical and the behavioral, but I think what you determined on your own is admirable. It's great.
Thanks.
That you did that.
So. Yeah, I think it's great the work that you guys are doing in that regard.
So it is time to take another break. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health. We'll be right back.
With decades of experience helping patients change their lives, 3Health Weight Loss Solutions can help you too. At 3Health, we provide proven and science-based solutions for realistic, achievable, and sustainable results. We're unique, just like you, and the relationships you have with food and yourself. Find out how we treat obesity, depression, high cholesterol, and more. Just give us a call and change your life today. 425-606-0022 or visit us online at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
Need help getting started with self-help? You came to the right place. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back. This is Weight Loss Conversations with 3Health, and we're with our guest today, Jennifer O'Brien. Jennifer's been sharing her personal story as an ARNP, and she works with the Chehalis tribe.
Yes.
And you were sharing with us that you work with some primary care providers with the tribe and other ARNPs.
Right.
And Jennifer, what I loved in our last segment that you're telling us now, people are your coworkers, your other providers are starting to refer a lot of nutrition needs of patients and things to you. You're kind of becoming the expert. Is that fair?
I hope so.
Or do you not want to be called the expert yet?
Well,
maybe you do.
I
think that's great.
Think
you should be proud of that.
Yeah,
for
the resource.
That's a good word,
Brandy.
For all of the personal work that you've shared with us that you've been doing, and then of course, that you're doing with your patients. I think that's great.
Thank you.
And then also, Marlene, before the break, we were talking with Jennifer about how we've integrated here, of course, in our practice, the behavioral with the medical that we do with Brandy and work with our patients and how important that is.
Yeah, and like Jennifer was sharing that she was figuring it out. What is this? Is it hunger? Is it emotions? Do I need comfort? And we are right along with people as they begin the program that to even talk about it. Some people really don't have that connection that this might not be true hunger. And to even just bring it up that, you know, the awareness of how am I eating? Why am I eating? Why am I eating this? It can be really clarifying. I mean, light bulbs come on all the time for people. We can't change what we don't know. And so when they understand this is more comfort that I need, well, then we can work with them on what other things would be comforting for you. But if you don't know that that's what you're doing.
And then, Marlene, what as we were talking during the break, what often happens with a number of our patients is we get into so many other issues that naturally come up as we talk about emotions and we talk about eating. Some of the issues are pretty deep-seated. They're things that have been going on for a long time.
Yeah, that people haven't connected up with their desire to comfort. We do discuss a lot of things circling around abuse issues, childhood abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, relationships that are currently going on that aren't healthy. It opens up a lot, and that sounds really overwhelming. People are saying, "Well, I just want to lose 40 pounds. I don't want to look at everything else." But it's part of the sustainability is to really look at what issues people are carrying. And the goal is to have them let go of those issues and not carry them the rest of their life.
Well, when we talk to people and they say, well, I've lost weight, you know, a bunch of times. And, and then we say, well, what happened? How did you get derailed? It's almost never, well, I forgot that these certain foods weren't going to help me keep my weight off, or it's not an intellectual challenge. It's almost always some kind of emotional or social barrier that they run up against, but they just don't know how to overcome or don't have strategies for it. And I think that that is, if people are honest about their, you know, their process of losing weight, it's necessary to deal with those things
it
to
really
be successful.
It really is. And whether, you know, I, as a therapist, you don't have to have weight issues to, I mean, we see the same things being uncovered. I worked in recovery, alcohol and drug recovery, for several years. I worked in domestic violence for 12 years. And you see that distraction. If I put all my energy into, you know, looking at, you know, I don't want to look at my past or my relationship, so I'm going to look over this way, and comfort with food. It is painful for people, but the reward is being able to process it and let abuse go, or learn new strategies to deal with it. We uncover PTSD from abuse issues or from other traumas. It isn't always about abuse, but a lot of things can come up for people that they're comforting with food, and it works until it doesn't work anymore. So, you know, I always, therapy gets kind of a bad name. People are kind of scared of therapy. I've never had anybody really upset that they came to therapy. You know, they can be upset. I deal with that. But they don't regret learning how to let go of things.
I think sometimes it's just the fear of the unknown.
Yeah,
with
it can be.
Therapy, what am I going to experience? How am I going to process this? What are they going to say to me? Are they going to judge me for this? And I think once they're in it and they could see that it's an open dialogue and it's a safe place, then it changes.
It really, I think it's a real crucial part of health and fitness and weight loss and, you know, just basic overall health care.
Right.
That, so that we don't want to see transference addictions if somebody doesn't deal with what the initial trauma was. Then they learn how to eat keto and lose weight, but then they might become shoppers and distract, you know, with spending.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so we want to watch that. It just really is, I think, a crucial part of our program.
And we were talking a little bit at the break, and I can totally empathize with your work situation where there are resources for mental health and behavior, but they're so booked up and maybe wouldn't really have the ability to focus on weight-related issues or those kinds of things that are influencing food choices and social things and that. So it's, you know, I would never ever say that I was a therapist, but at least I could recognize the issues and help people see that that was something that they were going to have to deal with.
Right.
And the reason why we created 3Health is because I could do that, but I couldn't get people to then take the next step to actually see somebody.
Right.
So we just put it all in-house and made it mandatory.
Yeah.
I think that's really helpful for patients because I also think they want a one-stop shop, too.
Right.
They don't want to go.
Well, and I think it's sort of like they can say, well, they make me do it. I'm not going to therapy on my own volition, but they make me do this. So we can be the bad guy there.
Yeah, and it works. I mean, people really do start to see that it's complex why we eat things or do things that aren't in our best interest. And in very intelligent people that are running very successful in the rest of their life are not realizing that I'm still self-soothing with food.
Well, and it's also, Marlene, why we start out with a curriculum here at 3Health. And what you and I have found is often the curriculum that we start with is a starting conversation. It gets people to start looking at things, becoming self-aware. And often that will then lead to other conversations. So when you, Jennifer, mention a safe place, often the starting with the curriculum is a safe place. And that becomes kind of a driver maybe to go to other places. And we have some patients that just you know, as we've said, hit the road running, and the curriculum's mm-hmm. great, and that's just exactly mm-hmm. what they need. And it's very helpful for them. And sometimes the curriculum is a start to, as Marlene, as you said, to bring lots of other stuff will be brought out mm-hmm. at that point. So it depends on the individual patient, where we go with it.
Yeah, and I think it's crucial if somebody is going to get therapy, that it is a good fit, that you feel you really should feel very comfortable with your therapist, and it should feel like a very safe place to talk. And if it's not, I say keep looking.
Right.
Because it doesn't work if you've got somebody telling you how you should feel and what you should be doing. They usually get weeded out in grad school, but not always.
As I think we said that last week, we try not to shoot on people around.
Yeah.
That's an important one. So.
Yep.
So I guess I was wondering if you could be in charge of the entire practice where you work, what kinds of things would you hope for to help the patients?
That's a really good question, Brandy.
Thanks.
I think really it needs to be a bigger program than just coming and seeing the provider. I think there does need to be a mental health component. I think that also learning about nutrition, having somebody maybe cook for them, see what that looks like. Sharing their celebrations would be a part of keto, and they could have a whole menu planned out. I think that would be really fun. Involving children in some of the cooking, some lessons, things like that.
Make it practical.
Make it practical, make it interesting, keep people involved.
Yeah, I think it's really like this idea of what are we going to eat? That's such a complex question, and it mm-hmm. really shouldn't have to be that complex.
Right.
So I like that idea of like really showing people. I make a lot of keto recipes and share them with these guys and my family. And I do that not just to feed myself, but to prove you can still have lasagna.
Right.
And you can really enjoy it, and it's not diet food.
Right.
Because that's one of the things I think that is associated with losing weight is that it's got to be restrictive and you got to be deprived or it's not going to work.
Right.
And we hear so often that people say, I don't feel like this is going to, I'm scared mm-hmm. because it's too easy with the food that they're eating.
Right.
So I think part of it is, yeah, showing people you get to eat real food that tastes really good.
Right.
And you won't suffer.
It really is a good way to eat.
Yeah.
It's not that tough.
And sustainable as far as energy. Mm-hmm. That's probably the mental clarity and the energy that I get from eating low-carbon keto is probably the most beneficial to me. Because we do a lot of, it takes a lot of brain power to do what I do.
Right. And I don't get brain fog. So
right.
It's definitely.
It's helpful.
So, Jennifer, it's been great to have you here with us. Please come again.
Oh, thank you so much.
I think this time has gone very quickly.
It did.
And it was great for you to share your story with us.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming and doing this. Hopefully you've learned some things. I've learned some things listening to you.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work that you're doing with the Chehalis tribe. I think it's great.
Thank you.
And I appreciate not feeling like a unicorn.
There you go, Brandy. I think you may always be a unicorn of sorts.
Oh, thank you.
Or maybe unique. Do you have an announcement for us about our July support group?
Yes, we have a support group now, and it is complimentary. And you don't have to be a patient to join it. What we do ask is that you let us know that you want to come because we have to figure out space. But it's every second Tuesday of the month. The next one will be on July 9th from 6:30 to 7:30. And if you RSVP by June 30th, we'll be able to then communicate to you where we are going to hold it. And you can bring a friend. It's pretty open. We don't have a lot of strict topics and things like that we're going to talk about. But I think it's helpful if you're out there trying to lose weight at all and need some support, whether you're doing low carb or keto or not, we can have a good place for you to find some good support.
Do you have an email address for us?
Sure. If you go to email us at contactus@3.health, and that's THREE.health. You can also call, and that phone number is 425-606-0022.
That's great. It's been a good show this week. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Be safe.
Thanks for listening to Weight Loss Conversations, brought to you by 3Health Medical Weight Loss Solutions. We love hearing from our audience, so be sure to drop us a note. We so appreciate when you tell family and friends about our program. Also, don't forget that our past programs are found at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. Have a wonderful week and tune in next Monday at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. Monday. Be sure to visit our website at 3.health. That's THREE.health.
The content and opinions expressed during this program were those of the hosts, guests, and callers. They are not intended in any way to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.